With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Malcolm Honlein Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations is here. And we're very pleased to welcome Jonathan Speier, Director of Research at the Middle East Forum, to help solve some of these headlines and where they're going looks grim. Jonathan, I read from the Times of Israel in these hours, Hezbollah shells north with dozens of rockets after IDF drone strike kills commander. Military says it killed operations officer in charge of one of terror group's regional units. 45 rockets launched at Western Galilee, causing no injuries. What we have here is a puzzle. It's a military puzzle, but I want to go to the diplomatic part. The White House sent a representative to Jerusalem to talk to the government and the opposition to the government. And then this same representative went to Beirut to talk to. There is the puzzle for me. Who does the White House talk to in Beirut? Who's in charge for de-escalation or the possibility of? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, the answer is that Amos Hochstein, the U.S. envoy, goes to Beirut and he speaks to the official government of Lebanon that sits in Beirut. And we know who those people are. The problem is that they don't have any real power. You ask me who's really in charge. The answer is that the Lebanese Hezbollah organization is really in charge in Lebanon. And everybody knows that. Now, Hezbollah is represented in the government. It's represented in the parliament. But that's not what matters. What matters is that Hezbollah has a kind of state within a state or a deep state of its own that it controls or that the IRGC in Iran controls. They are the real controller. And as we know, there is already an existing diplomatic arrangement on the ground in southern Lebanon called United Nations Security Council Resolution 1701. Which has been there since 2006. It's all great. It looks great on paper. The problem is that Hezbollah takes absolutely no notice of it and is deployed all the way to the border. And as you mentioned, is shelling and rocketing Israel daily. So, yeah, I kind of am looking for the same answer that you are, actually, as to who exactly the United States government thinks it's speaking to in Beirut, because it sure isn't speaking to anybody who can actually make a decision.
Malcolm?
Do you see Iran being willing to take a loss in if Hamas, assumingly, is defeated to some degree or at least contained in Gaza, could they afford a loss with Hezbollah in the north, driving them north of Latani or any other outcome that would appear to put Hezbollah as the defeated party?
I believe, Malcolm, that if there is a ceasefire or an agreement on hostage releases and then a ceasefire in Gaza, Hezbollah will simply cease its fire from the north. It will not accept, and Iran will not accept, Hezbollah being driven north of the Litani. That would be a causus belli from their point of view. But if the war in Gaza winds down, then as Hezbollah have actually said repeatedly, they're not looking for an all-out war with Israel at this stage. I believe that Iran is also not looking for all-out war at this stage. So from Hezbollah's point of view, if it stops in Gaza, they'll stop firing too. Anything more than that, they're not offering and they will not offer, I believe. But that basic ceasefire in return for a ceasefire in Gaza, yeah, I think that's fine from their point of view. They're not looking for all-out war with Israel at this time. And frankly, certainly not looking to go for an all-out war on behalf of a small Sunni organization like Hamas. That's not what they're in business for, and that's not what Iran is in business for either.
My understanding is that if Hezbollah is permitted to maintain its forward positions on the border, that means that October 7th is going to be a constant threat, presuming the Israeli citizens who have been evacuated for 8 months return. Can that be solved with diplomacy or with the UN?
My view is that it cannot be. Yeah, you're absolutely right, John, in your characterization. I mean, I was up on the northern border being, you know, accompanying an army group a couple of months ago, and we went to Rosh HaNikra on the northwestern side of the border area. And sure, the people who were living there, there are houses just, you know, 4 or 5 yards from the border fence, and Hezbollah men were coming down to that border fence prior to October 7th. So the prospect for October 7th, or frankly, if one can imagine it, even something like that, but on a larger scale, is very, very real in the northern border. So residents of the north, of Israel's north, simply will not come back while that remains a possibility. I personally do not believe that that can be changed through diplomacy. Frankly, and I'll be clear about it, I think that Israel either accepts that situation or it carries out unilateral military action to try and change it. There isn't really any other possibilities on the table, in my view.
So the Hezbollah south of the Litani River is unacceptable for these a condition for the civilians to return. Is that correct, Jonathan? Unacceptable.
Indeed so. Yeah, unacceptable. Yeah, because, Israel cannot guarantee security to the residents of its northern border area if there are, you know, Shia Islamist gunmen literally 4 or 5 yards from right. Kindergartens and family residences. And that's the reality.
Malcolm?
Do you see a return of U.S. Warships off to the coast of Lebanon? I saw one report today after the threats to Cyprus. Do you see any kind of an escalating presence as a preventative from Syria, Iraq, others getting more involved in the evidence that that a lot of the missiles or drones are flying from Iraq that are aimed at Israel?
Yeah. I mean, it's not impossible, but, and of course, as you correctly note, that it took place in the days following October 8th, the day after the 7th, when Hezbollah began firing, precisely as a deterrent effect, when President Biden said the famous don't, you know, to anybody who was thinking of joining in. But my sense, at least, is that the United States administration right now is absolutely determined that there should not be any Israeli unilateral escalation on the border. So my sense is right now, frankly, the pressure is on Israel from Washington rather than on the Lebanese or Hezbollah side.
A puzzle about Hezbollah's preparation. Is there information mm-hmm. that Hezbollah is preparing to receive an invasion? Because I'm told that there are some very heavy-duty dudes ready to go north. Is Hezbollah acting as if it knows that it's coming?
I think that they are, yeah. My impression is that much of the Radwan force, by the way, has actually withdrawn northwards, the 2,500-strong Hezbollah elite force that was close along the border. And my sense is that Hezbollah knows this is very real, and they are getting ready for it. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the fact that the amount of ordnance that Hezbollah is now expending on a daily basis, you know, hitting Israel, shows just how seriously they understand this escalation is. They don't want it, you know, and it's not because they have any benevolence. They don't want it because they prefer the strategy of trying to slowly strangle Israel, which they've been busy with, you know, for the best part now of 40 years. They don't want an all-out war. But sure, they have an understanding that may be coming, and they're getting ready for it without any question.
Malcolm?
You see a role for the Iranian militias in Syria being escalated? I assume Syria does not want to get involved. And also, are the routes for resupply to Hezbollah open?
The routes are open, Malcolm. The contiguous line of control that the Iranians have all the way from the Iraq-Iran border across Iraq, across Syria, across Lebanon to Israel and to the Mediterranean remains open. It remains vulnerable, but it remains open. Syria, they've tried very hard not to use for launching ordnance at Israel for a number of reasons. Iraq has been used, as you know, on a number of occasions, the Iraqi Shia militias. Look, here's the thing. There's a scenario which says if war between Israel and Hezbollah, all that war, begins, then it is perfectly conceivable that Iran could then try to use that strategic ground to funnel fighters across to the front line and indeed to use that area as a launch base for ordnance at Israel. That becomes, in fact, quite likely if all that war begins, and we should be thinking about that. You know, those of us who've been watching this stuff for years have noted for years that long contiguous line of control is there for the event of all that war between Israel and Hezbollah, when the Iranians will do everything to protect their proxy and involve other assets in the battle.
Speaking with Jonathan Shanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, he observed that in the event there is war with Hezbollah, buildings will fall, tall buildings will fall. Do you agree with that, Jonathan?
Yes, I do. We should be clear on this, and we should not be under any illusions whatsoever. An all-out war between Israel and Lebanese Hezbollah will not be a simple affair, and it will not be a one-way affair either in terms of damage. Yes, they are going to, they have, as we know, up to 200,000 rockets and missiles. In the event of all that war for their survival, they will begin to launch a good part of that ordnance. It includes such ordnance as Fatah 110 and M600 missiles with precision-guided capacity, which can reach central Israel and further south. It can reach Israel's urban centers. There's a real possibility or even probability that Israel's air defenses will not be able to intercept all of that in the event of all-out war. That's why it'll be so important for Israel to go forward very, very aggressively to try to finish this as soon as possible, if indeed a war comes. Yes, that's an absolutely realistic scenario that Jonathan Shanza described to you.
Jonathan Spires, Director of Research at the Middle East Forum, Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.